The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazines. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies magazines. And we'll begin with this one from Magnolia. That is a quarterly magazine, so sometimes I'll have stuff from Magnolia and sometimes I won't. This one is entitled Just Like Last Year, One Man's Tale. Anticipating Nostalgia is one of the season's sweetest gifts, getting to relive the traditions we know and love again and again. The gifts are wrapped and the driveway shoveled. You'll make the cider and I'll bake the pies. Buttermilk and cranberry crumble. And gingerbread cobbler, too, just like last year. Stir this, if you don't mind, while I put on a record. I'll hit the high notes while you go low. The cookies have cooled. Try one. Tell me that story again of when your family got snowed in at the cabin. Their flight lands at noon if the weather holds off. I can't wait. He's gotten so big. Let's meet at the tree lighting downtown and go from there together, just like last year. I love these days with you, filled with all the things we do to revel in the magic of the season. There's familiarity in these traditions, the ones we share, even with those we've never met. So we ask the question, what are the traditions that bring you together? And I'll read some selected ones. A lot of the ones that they have printed actually run off the page. So the ones where I can read the entire tradition, I will. Traveling plus getting outside. We have a cabin in the mountains of California, and we love to gather there as a family at Christmas. We play games, watch movies, make gingerbread houses, bake cookies, sled down the big hill, and build snowmen. It's a time when we can put other things aside and focus on our family, the best Christmas gift of all. That was Amy Dean Anderson. Next, I grew up in northern Wisconsin, where there's always snow for Christmas. Now we live in the Chicago area, but we still have a cabin up north. We'll go with our six daughters, their husbands, and our grandson, and go sled riding, ice fishing, and just enjoy family time in the woods. Marilyn Winters. We love to drive around our neighborhood and look at Christmas lights. That was Anna Allen. Spreading cheer. My mom started a tradition of building a Christmas village when my brother and I were super young. He's now married with three kids and has taken this tradition to a new level. He builds mountains, lakes, and waterfalls. It's so sweet to watch him and my mom work on this together. That was Jordy Barksdale. Instead of tags, everyone gets a signature wrapping paper intentionally picked out based on something they're currently into or have experienced during the year. This also helps little ones not to peek and keeps the older ones guessing on which gifts are theirs. That was Trisha Peterson Blevins. Every year I send holiday cards, but a new thing I'm adding is including a packet of seeds I have harvested from my garden. I'm excited to see what my friends and family grow. That was at Little Free Flowery. Our family has fondue on Christmas Eve. It's one of the only traditions I've carried forward, and it's been going on for nearly 50 years. And that's Steph Zoe. Three generations have kicked off Christmases by making Italian cookies. We'll use my mother-in-law's recipes from the 70s, and the rest of us will bake and share the recipes to see who tweaked old recipes. Three households, two states, a little competition, and a lot of serious fun. And that was Bobby Cavano. We make homemade melted snowman waffles. We love to have fun with food on the holidays. And that was at EMWKULP. My sons and I make fudge to pass out to everyone. This year we hooked up a trailer to my six-year-old's go-kart so we could deliver them around the neighborhood. And this was Lindsay Palmer. And the last one. For more than 100 years, my family has been making homemade pierogies for Christmas Eve. My grandfather was the first of his siblings to be born in the USA after emigrating from Ukraine, and my Irish grandmother learned how to make these pockets of delight from my great-grandmother. We carry on the tradition in their memory. And that was at the _daily_dozen. From Woman's Day, this month's health checklist, 5 little wellness moves to make right now. First, help new mom depression. The first pill specifically to treat postpartum depression was recently approved by the FDA. It works much more quickly than traditional antidepressants, bringing hope to the 1 in 8 new moms estimated to suffer from postpartum depression. Is your sis or daughter pregnant? Learn the warning signs of PPD. Don't forget about COVID. There's bad news and good news. A new variant is infecting people, but it doesn't seem more dangerous than the ones already there. Yet COVID-19 and long COVID is still a risk. So now that the boosters targeting the variant is available, roll up your sleeves and get it. While you're at it, ask for the flu vaccine too. You can get them at the same time. Walk a bit, get healthier. Make it a habit to walk even just 4,000 steps a day, and you'll reduce the risk of dying from any disease, including heart disease, says a new study. Even better, you don't have to do it all at once. Little snippets add up. Challenge yourself to add steps each day for a bigger payoff. Cool off from hot flashes. A new treatment for those annoying flushes of heat, a medication to treat moderate to severe hot flashes called Veozah, that's V-E-O-Z-A-H, was given the green light by the FDA earlier this year. Around 80% of menopausal women have hot flashes. The treatment isn't for everyone, so discuss with your doctor. For info on menopause, visit MEDI, a virtual care clinic for 40-plus women. And it's joinmidi.com, joinmidi.com. And last, get eyes checked for your heart. An in-depth eye exam might reveal signs of heart disease. Research has found the retinas of people with heart disease tend to have specific marks ophthalmologists can spot. So getting regular eye checkups is a smart move for more than just your eyes. To protect your peepers, visit the National Eye Institute's website. From Magnolia, finding your way back. How simple, gentle steps of intention can reestablish the bonds that hold us together. We were made for connection with one another, literally born for it. The architecture of our brains is built by human interaction or the lack of it. And all throughout our lives, that reassuring warmth of a hand on a shoulder, unguarded laughter at a shared joke, quiet companionship in grief, affirming words offered over a job well done, or simply the spark of recognition when eyes meet acknowledges that, even if only for an instant, we're in this thing together. But without those connections, with a partner, family member, friend, or community, it's natural to feel isolated or as if you're not truly known. And at this time of year, when the days grow shorter and colder, and interactions may feel full in quantity but short on quality, loneliness can start to creep into the gaps. Here, we're sharing ideas for ways you can strengthen those meaningful connections, starting with ourselves and expanding to our closest relationships, friendship circles, and broader community. We can rebuild those bridges because we know this to be true. The more we practice offering the gift of attention, of intention, the more we'll be able to recognize that same goodness coming toward us. Little lifelines link us back to what matters, back to ourselves and one another. Strong connections start from the inside out. Reconnecting with ourselves gives us a more solid place to reach out from. When we're weighed down by the heaviness of feeling alone, it can be hard to even think about conjuring up the energy to be connective, much less actually reach out to others. But we can start small by making little investments in our own energy bank to build the internal resources we need to look outward. Remind yourself of your worth by taking time just for you. Ask yourself, when was the last time I did something just for the pleasure of it? What's a small thing I could do today for my own good? A nap? A trip to the park? Create something? Intimate relationships, choosing to be curious, rekindles connection. Our deepest emotional connections form with those with whom we feel the most known and accepted, whether it be a best friend, spouse, or parent. But as time slips by, we change, and so do our people. Curiosity chooses to notice and be genuinely interested in that change, and that's the glue that re-strengthens the bond with those closest to our hearts. Think of a close relationship in your life. What do you know about their current job? What are they most excited about or most worried about right now? What have they learned about themselves lately? Whatever you don't know, consider asking them next time you see them. Friendship circles, offering and accepting easy invitations, makes life-giving gatherings possible. The consistent connection points in our lives, our coworkers, buddies from college, or children's friends' families provide friendships that hold a mutual commitment of care. But as life's demands change, our ability to intentionally engage can dwindle. When we get creative about how we come together, mainly in the form of regular, low-pressure activities, those gatherings become a refreshment rather than an obligation. And when everyone plays a part, the lift is higher and the collective sense of belonging is stronger. Ask yourself, when was the last time our group got together? What is a simple, joyful way we could gather in the next couple of weeks? Something easy for everyone. Game night with popcorn? Caravan to see Christmas lights? And end with hot chocolate? And sense of community. Reimagining what we have to offer means always having something to share. The desire to be part of something bigger than ourselves runs deep in all of us. We find meaning in finding people who share our values and desires. This can show up in your neighborhood, a nonprofit with a cause you care about, or with fellow soccer team parents who want the kids to have a great season. But connection in community can also look like small, everyday moments. Offering a bottle of water to your postal carrier on a hot day. A firm hug. A genuine smile at the checkout. There are so many ways to say, I see you. The invitation is to lift our gaze and notice those opportunities for eyes to meet. In the bustle of the day-to-day, pause and ask yourself, what and who do I see in front of me right now? How can I help? What do I have to give in this moment? From Good Housekeeping, Tabletop Glow Up. This is a couple of easy decorating ideas just in time for the holidays. First, it says, fill up empty glass bottles with greenery, water, and a few cranberries. Add taper candles and enjoy the glow. And I will tell you, they've got different size bottles. Two of them look like different shaped wine bottles. And two of them are shorter, more like an apothecary bottle. And they have put water in them and slid in snippings from some kind of conifers, evergreen kind of trees, and just a couple of cranberries for the redness. And it makes a very beautiful place to stick a candle. There's our deep red, their candles, but you know, you could go with white or silver or gold or anything you wanted for Christmas. And of course, you could vary what kind of greens you use, anything you can stuff in the spout of the bottle, right? Next, rustic blooms. Top wooden discs with pine cones, and you'll have the perfect ornaments for a nature-inspired tree. What they've done here, they've gone to a craft store, sort of like Michael's or something, and they bought it's just little slices of a thin tree. So it's maybe 2 to 3 inch wide discs that are just plain slices of tree trunk. And then they glued, hot glued probably, pine cones on there, maybe half pine cones on there, and then glued a satin ribbon in a loop to the back so that it's easy to hang from the tree. And all tied up in a pinch, the right ribbon can give candle holders, glasses, and even flatware an elegant enhancement. They have taken a burgundy satin ribbon and tied it around the base of little candle holders, wine glass stems, and tying together the cutlery instead of putting them beside the plates or wrapping them in napkins around the table. Very pretty. And because they use the same ribbon for all three, very coordinated. From real simple, clean and deodorize food storage containers. Erase stubborn residue. In general, speed is your friend here. As soon as you're done consuming the contents, empty the container and rinse it with warm water and a drop of dish soap to soften left-behind sauce and grease. If you have a dishwasher, go ahead and put the container upside down on the top rack, sliding the lid vertically between the tines. If not, take a moment to wash the pieces in the sink right away. For anything that's already discolored, read that as the plastic number that held your bolognese dinner turned lunch. Spray the area with Dawn Platinum Power Wash dish spray, which has strong solvents to attack tough stains. Let it sit for 30 minutes, then rinse. If stains persist, mix 2 teaspoons of bleach per gallon of warm water. Drop in the container to soak for 15 to 30 minutes. Then scrub with dish soap and a brush. As a last-ditch effort, place the container on a windowsill in direct sunlight. The rays may help brighten stains. And to banish lingering odors, those spicy string beans were delicious last week, but that doesn't mean you want to smell them today. To de-stink plastic containers, which are more porous than their glass counterparts, do a quick rinse, then apply a DIY paste of 1 tablespoon baking soda and 1 cup of water. After letting that sit for a few hours, wash the container with dish soap and water. For stinky silicone containers or gaskets, pop them in the oven. Just make sure they're oven safe and clean and dry them first. Heat your oven to 170 degrees and bake the offending items for 20 minutes. They should come out smelling like, well, nothing. Clear up cloudy film. If your once clear containers look a little opaque, one of two things could be the culprit. The first, hard water, which can deposit minerals. Try adding a rinse aid to your dishwasher. We love Finish Jet Dry Hard Water Rinse Aid, which is $6 at Target. It's formulated to remove residue caused by hard water and can help reduce spots on dry dishes. The other possible cause, baked on grease and oil. Once again, try Dawn Power Wash or that baking soda paste. Clean out fuzzy mold. Forget about the turkey sandwich.
Nah.
Wipe out as much of the contaminated food and mold as you can with a paper towel. Do not use your sponge for this, as spores easily transfer. You can then clean as normal, but to be extra thorough, let the container and lid soak in that bleach and water solution for 30 minutes. Use a straw cleaning brush to get into lid grooves. Clean everything with soap and water after the bath to wash out any remaining bleach. And moving forward, keep containers in the front of the fridge, first in, first out. After all, a turkey sandwich is a terrible thing to waste. And they have the tools for the job here. The Dawn Platinum Power Wash Dish Spray is about $5 at Target and other places. A dish brush, $8 at OXO.com, O-X-O.com. And that full circle little sipper drinkware cleaning brushes, $7 for 4 at the Container Store. Another little side note, sometimes a storage container just needs to be sent to that big cabinet in the sky. Toss anything that's broken cracked, chipped, or misshapen from dishwasher heat. From Woman's Day, some holiday side dishes. Roasted corn pudding. Active time is 20 minutes, total time an hour, plus resting time, and it serves 8. We need 1 tablespoon olive oil, 1 small onion chopped, 5.5 cups frozen corn, thawed and divided. That's 1 3/4 of a 16-ounce bag, or almost 2 16-ounce bags. Kosher salt, 2 cups heavy cream, 1 large egg plus 1 egg yolk, and 2 teaspoons of thyme leaves chopped. Heat oven to 400. Heat oil in medium saucepan on medium. Add onion, 2.5 cups corn, and 1/2 teaspoon salt, and cook, stirring occasionally until tender, about 5 minutes. Add cream and bring to a boil. Then lower heat and simmer, stirring occasionally, until cream is reduced by 1/3, about 15 minutes. Remove from heat. Using immersion blender, puree the corn mixture until mostly smooth. With blender running, add egg and yolk. Blend to combine. Fold in 2 cups corn and chopped thyme, then transfer to a shallow 2-quart baking dish. Spread in an even layer, then sprinkle remaining 1 cup corn on top. Bake until pudding is set around the edges and just slightly jiggly in the middle, about 25 minutes. Let rest 5 minutes before serving. How about lemony arugula and Parmesan salad? 5 minutes active time, total time is 15, and this serves 8 as well. We need 1 lemon, 1/2 a teaspoon sugar, 1 5-ounce package arugula, 2 tablespoons olive oil, kosher salt and pepper, 2 ounces Parmesan cheese shaved, plus more for serving. With a paring knife, cut top and bottom off the lemon. Cut peel and pith away from the lemon, then into a small bowl, cut segments from between the membranes. Cut each segment in half. Squeeze 1 tablespoon juice from the pulp. Sprinkle sugar over the lemon segments. Let sit at least 10 minutes. In a large bowl, toss arugula with oil, lemon segments, juice, 1/4 teaspoon salt, and 1/2 teaspoon pepper. Gently fold in Parmesan. To serve, shave additional Parmesan on top if desired, and then serve immediately. Crispy smashed potatoes. Active time, 10 minutes. Total is an hour and 25. Serves 10. We need 2.5 pounds small red potatoes, about 2 inches in diameter. Kosher salt, 5 tablespoons olive oil, divided, and finely chopped parsley for serving. So not very many ingredients. Place potatoes in a large saucepan and cover with 2 inches water. Cover and bring to a boil on high. Add 1 teaspoon salt and reduce heat to medium-low. Uncover and simmer until tender, 30 minutes. Drain well. Heat oven to 450. Add 1 tablespoon oil each to 2 rimmed baking sheets. Place each potato on a baking sheet using a stiff, wide spatula. Gently press on them until crushed but still intact. Divide potatoes among the oiled sheets. Drizzle with 1 tablespoon oil and sprinkle 1/2 teaspoon salt on each sheet. Roast, rotating trays halfway through and drizzling each sheet with the remaining tablespoon oil until crispy, about 25 minutes. Sprinkle potatoes with parsley. And garlicky kale and pea saute. Active time is 10 minutes, total time 20, and it serves 10. We need 2 tablespoons olive oil, 2 cloves garlic thinly sliced, 1 Fresno chili finely chopped, 2 bunches of kale stemmed and chopped, about a pound, 1/2 teaspoon sugar, kosher salt and pepper, and 1 16-ounce bag of frozen peas. Add oil to medium saucepan on medium. Add garlic and chili. Cook, stirring often until fragrant, 2 minutes. Add kale, sugar, 3/4 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. Cook until kale is tender, stirring occasionally 4 to 5 minutes. Stir in peas and cook until heated through 4 minutes. And it says it's heart smart because peas provide the perfect combo of protein and fiber. They help keep you full longer and support steady blood sugar. How about spiced orange fizz for your holiday cocktail? Active time, 15 minutes. Total time is 30, plus cooling and chilling time, and this serves 6. We need 1/4 cup granulated sugar, 1 orange, zest removed with a vegetable peeler, plus 2/3 of a cup of fresh orange juice from 2 more oranges, 1 cinnamon stick, 1 star anise pod, 1 whole clove, 2 bay leaves, 1 750 milliliter, that's a regular size bottle of Prosecco, chilled. In a small saucepan on low, heat sugar, orange juice, and 2/3 of a cup of water, stirring occasionally until sugar dissolves. Add the zest, spices, and bay leaves and simmer, stirring a few times until reduced by half, 12 to 14 minutes. Let cool at room temp for 30 minutes, then strain through a fine mesh sieve into a bowl. Cover and chill until cold, at least 1 hour. Divide syrup among 6 chilled champagne flutes, then slowly top with Prosecco. A Woman's Day kitchen test kitchen tip says you can make the syrup up to 3 days ahead, refrigerate in an airtight container. And one more, the Scotch Espresso Martini. Active and total time, 5 minutes, plus freezing, and it makes 1. We need 1 small cinnamon stick, 2.5 ounces of blended scotch, 1 ounce cold brew coffee or cooled espresso, 1 tablespoon pure maple syrup, a dash of Angostura bitters. Place martini glass in the freezer for 10 minutes. Meanwhile, light one end of the cinnamon stick with a flame. When the flame goes out, and you can blow it out if needed, set stick aside to cool. In a cocktail shaker filled with ice, combine scotch, coffee, maple syrup, and bitters. Shake until very cold, then strain into chilled martini glass. Finally grate some of the unburned end of the cinnamon stick on top, then float the stick in the glass. Those are directions I've never seen before about lighting one end of the cinnamon stick. So maybe you've done that before. I have not. We've about run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Ladies Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Happy holidays, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.